Hey everyone, welcome back to the Time for Truth, a radio ministry of New Testament Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Today's message is brought to you by Brother Larry Lafferty.
All right, if you have your Bibles with you, we'd ask you to turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in the very first verse. Genesis chapter 4, in the very first verse. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew them." I'd like to preach, the Lord being my helper, that time changes most things. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and watch care. Lord, we thank you for the church. Lord, we praise you for what she means to us, Lord, and for being the pillar and the ground of the truth. We give you praise for that. Lord, this evening we pray that you would bless your people that are here. Lord, that you'd make this word a living word, that we'd be able to set aside everything that vies for our attention and for the attention of our mind, Lord, and that we'd be focusing in on you for just a short time. And Lord, we'd be able to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, for it is in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Now, I want to notice a couple of things. First of all, if you've lived very long at all, you know time does change things. Time changes how you look. Time changes how you look at things. Time changes who we are in one sense. Time builds things up and time tears things down. And we need to know how time impacts us. And we also need to know how time should not impact us, how it should not get a hold of us. In the first verse, it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord." Now, in what Eve named him, Cain meaning I've gotten a man from the Lord, she named it right in one way, but she left out the other part of man, and she'd gotten a man from herself and Adam. She did not see him as a two-person creature, and that's the problem today. We're half man and we're half spirit. And if you've been saved, you have the saved spirit man, but you still have the flesh to contend with. That's the problem today with most false doctrine. They do not see the flesh completely depraved. Not one good thing about it whatsoever. That's the flesh that we are housed in. So Eve kind of missed that part of it. Verse 2, "And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, we're not real certain how old the boys are by this time. We don't know. At least they're out enough to be able to do some work on their own. Apparently, they were somewhat independent. And if you read in Genesis 5, when Seth arrives on the scene, Adam's only 130. And so, at the very most, this could have been maybe 50 years. We're not sure, but it was a very small amount of time, relatively, that these events transpire. And you know what I have found with God's people? It does not take us very long to become cold and dry to the things of God. And if you don't understand that, think back to the day the Lord saved your soul, and are you close and happy now as you was then? And most of us would have to say, no, I don't enjoy the thrill that I once found. Well, this is why. It's the process of time. And in the process of time, and it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now we find in verse 3 that these events took time. In the process of time, he changed his idea about God. You know what? It was in easily in the last 100 years, 125 years, that all Baptists believed in the complete sovereignty of God. That God is sovereign and He knows a people unto Himself before the world began. That wasn't a commodity a few years ago. It is today. People deny it. They want man to have a free will and to make good choices. But that's just not what the Bible teaches. And I want you to see, in that sense, it's a fairly short amount of time. Cain knew how to do it right. Cain knew that it was to be a blood sacrifice. Nothing else was acceptable. Nothing else, nothing. But in the process of time, he began to think, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. Why is it today that we think that we can just come before God and do what seemeth good unto ourselves? It's been the process of time. You know why men want to wear women's clothing and women want to pile up in a good tight pair of breeches? It's the process of time. You know, 70 years ago, that wouldn't even have been thought of. In the hills of Stewart County, that would not even been considered. But in the process of time, it's happened. In the process of time, you go to the shopping mall, you go to Walmart, and I will guarantee you will find more women in breeches than you do in dresses. It's been in the process of time. And it can impact us too. Things that we endear right now and that we cherish as truth, the devil will slide in and in the process of time make us cold to those truths. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now, I want you to see the reason why it wasn't because Cain was so good. That Cain was so bad and Abel was so good, but rather they approached it. Abel approached it in God's way. From the very first sin, there was always a blood sacrifice. To get those coats that Adam and Eve were covered with, to get that, something had to die. Now the way that Cain was doing it, nothing, there was no blood. Did the vegetables die? Yeah, in one sense, when they were plucked from the vine, they no longer lived, but there was no blood. You know, we live in a day and age where most people think a blood atonement is disgusting. Well, let me tell you, if it wasn't for a blood atonement, we'd be all lost and on our way to hell tonight. We'd have no hope if it wasn't for the blood of Christ. And so we see then, in this situation, they had learned that somewhere along the way. It's always been that way. Before the Mosaic Law came in, remember when Abraham and Isaac was going up the mountain and all that he said is, we go there to worship. And then Isaac says to his father, here we have fire and wood, but where is the lamb? He learned that over the years. He understood that. It must be a blood sacrifice. And you know why? You know why salvation's not cherished anymore? Because you have a whole generation of people that say that they deserve it. You're going to ask for it, and you're going to get it. You know what? That makes God into nothing more than something that we can use when we get ready to use it and throw it away when we don't want Him anymore. That's what it makes Him. And so we see then that Abel had an understanding of the character of God, and Cain did not. Cain didn't understand. Notice his reaction. And Cain was very wroth, very angry, very upset. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, that countenance is your expression. The way you look, the way that people perceive you, how they You know what? You can look at people and tell when they're angry, can't you? You can look, and listen, I've been preaching a long time now, and I can look at somebody and I can tell when I've lost them. They're not connecting anymore. They're not engaged. They're back on the back 40 somewhere. I don't know where they're at, but they're not here with me. And you can tell that. And his countenance changed. And you know why? Because God would not recognize his efforts. And let me tell you tonight, if you're doing anything in and of yourself, he will never ever recognize your efforts. If it's not on the merit of Christ, you'll die and go to hell. If it's not on the merit of Christ, you will not ever be able to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see that he had an understanding of this. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Now, it's kind of that very same situation when the Lord said to Adam, his father, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was. And he knew why Cain was wroth, but he wanted Cain to know why he was wroth, because he wasn't obedient to God, because he thought he knew more than God did. He thought what he offered was just as good as Abel's. That's why he was wroth. You know what? If nothing else tonight, we need to understand this, that God does not bow down to our level. He never has and he never will. God is sovereign and holy. He sent his dear son. And what does it say? Everybody says he came in the flesh. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. But he possessed no sin. Don't you ever convince yourself of otherwise. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so we see here that Cain asked him specifically, why art thou wroth? And why has thy countenance fell? Now here in the end of verse 6, we have an opportunity of repentance. We have an opportunity where he could have said, well, Lord, I got angry. I was upset. I wanted my stuff to be as good as it could be. And could have repented and go on. Other people say, well, poor old Cain, he was just a tiller. He that's all he had, so he brought what he had. No, it's not. He could have got a wild animal. He could have traded off with Abel, his brother, and got one of Abel's sheep. There was lots of approaches, but he simply didn't want to approach God on God's terms. That's why baptismal regeneration sounds so good to the flesh. That's why the Roman road sounds so good to the flesh, is because we're doing it all our way, but that's not God's way. If we had a way to approach God, separate apart the blood of Christ, he wouldn't have had to come, would he? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, if you do it right, if the blood sacrifice comes, shall I not recognize it? Shall I not be with you as I am with Abel? If you approach me in the right way, if you come with the blood sacrifice, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, you get this real clear, that if you began to compromise in the process of time, sin gets more and more easier to commit. If you compromise, ladies, and get on your spiritual shorts or gauchos, whatever you want to call them, supposed to look like a skirt and it's not, it won't be very long until you're finding the very best, tightest pair of blue jean britches you can get on, and you'll be prancing around in them too. You know why? It just takes the process of time. It just takes that much compromise. When will we ever learn that we just need to be just grab onto the truth and hold on with everything we've got? That's what we need to do. It's in the process of time. How do you become so close to the Lord and seemingly even the next day that you're cold and indifferent? I'll tell you how. It's the process of time. It is what transpires in the interim. And so we see here that he says you have an opportunity. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Now you notice that? The Lord God was recognizing the birth order. He said, Cain, you're the oldest. Cain, you're the one in charge. Cain, he'll serve you. Listen, all you do is repent and serve me, and Abel is under you. You know what? He couldn't even accept that. You know what? Make a decision for Jesus. Well, what I found with the ungodly nature of man, if we have a choice, we always make the wrong one. Cain did he not? In that sense, I guess he had a choice, but he made the wrong one, didn't he? And that's the depravity of man. That's who we are. We always, always, always make wrong decisions. And so we see that as well. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It would be a marvelous thing to me to know what ensued in this conversation. You know, some people say, when I get to heaven, that's what I'm going to ask about. Well, I personally believe when we get to heaven, that won't matter no more. I'll be at the feet of Jesus saying, holy, 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 throughout the ceaseless ages. But it is a point of interest to me. What did they talk about? Perhaps what did their conversation? They were there in the field together. And what did they come? You know what? I believe old jealous Cain says, God likes you better than he does me. I believe he said, listen, why does he recognize your stuff and he won't recognize mine? And maybe Abel had enough about him and said, you know what? It's the blood. It's the blood sacrifice. It's the reason, just as dad and mom years ago had to have blood sacrifices to cover themselves. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, Cain. Can't you see? And it made him wroth. Listen. When someone is doing well, why do other people get mad? I tell you what, it's almost like a type of jealousy. They're certainly not happy in the things of God, so they don't want nobody else to be. And so we see then that Cain had this conversation, whatever it was, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now sin has gotten much further down the road. He went from a rebellious sacrifice to his countenance falling, to an argument with his brother, to murdering his own brother. Do you see how sin escalates? Time changes things. Time creates new situations. I ask you tonight, compared to now and a year ago, how walk ye with the Lord? Comparing now for 10 years ago, how walk ye with the Lord? Is it the same? Is it better? Or is it more dry? Is it worse than it once was? We need to understand and know, first of all, where we were. And then when you can realize where you were, you can compare it to where you are now. You know, most of the time, I can look back and say, seemingly I was closer to the Lord then than I was now. Time has changed that. Time has made a difference. Now, I ask you, how has time treated you? Is there joy in your life? Is there happiness present? Are you glad to be in the things of the Lord? Look with me very quickly in the book of Genesis chapter 38. And we're going to read one more instance of time. And it's throughout the Word of God. Genesis chapter 38 and verse 12. Genesis 38 and verse 12. The Bible says, and in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up into his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira, the Adumelite. Now I want you to notice a couple of things. This is the one that you really need to realize. In the process of time, she died. That was his wife. She was gone. And in the process of time, you will die too. If the Lord's return isn't in 20, 30 years, you know what? I'm out of here just by simple number facts of numbers, right? That's a process of time. We need to understand and know how precious time is. And I don't think that we learn when we should. You know, I believe that was Solomon's, one of his things as he was much older. He realized, he says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth when the hard times cometh not. And the reason why, he realized the best years of his life he'd wasted. He had not followed the things of God in the very best years. And that, because you know what? One day, illness will come and we're going to die. So we find here that it just took a short time. In the process of time, her life was over. And it was, and I also want you to see, after the death, that Judah takes up with this Hira, supposedly a friend. You know what? We need to be very, very cautious when we're on our own. When you're by yourself and you don't have your wife at your side, or you don't have your husband near unto you, when you're at that age where you think you have all of life's freedoms, you better be very careful. You know what? Every time you look out, very, very few times, except maybe for Jonathan and David, do you find two men hanging out that come to really good things out of it. And so I want you to see that she died in the process of time. He took up with someone else. Verse 13, and it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear the sheep. And she put on her widow's garments off her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat on an open place which was by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. Now, in the Jewish culture, what was to happen, her husband died and she was to get the next son. But time was moving on and there was nothing for Tamar. The boy became old enough and Tamar was skipped over. And so in the process of time, that that was jumped over. You know what? Things that should be held precious to you, in the process of time, time often rips them away. Think about this old building that we meet in. You know, it was very precious when we first got here, wasn't it? Meeting that little building that probably wasn't as big as this much of this building, all slammed into there together on hot July days. And we got here, man, this was just like a Cadillac, wasn't it? But in the process of time, it just became routine. You know, what a wonderful, wonderful thing when the Lord God comes to us in the Holy Spirit and meets with us, sits down with us, comforts us, just opens His Word up to us unbelievably, and we rejoice in it. But in the process of time, it don't become as precious as it once was. In the process of time, we don't value those instances as we should. And you know what? Our Lord God, understanding the nature of the man, all He does is withdraw Himself. And listen, you'll get desperate after a while. You'll get troubled. You'll say, you know what? That was pretty good back then. That was an enjoyable time I had with the Lord. And you'll begin to cry out to Him and desire Him in the process of time. Now, I ask you tonight, you compare yourself and say, where do you compare to you where you were at 5 years ago? 5 years ago, I was 41 years old. I just got past my brain surgery. Things were going pretty well. And you know what? In the process of time, I think sometimes I forget about the Lord's good deliverance in that. Am I happy He did it? You bet I am. Do I praise Him? Yes, I do. But you know what? I think it's a little duller than it was then. I don't think it is quite as amazing fact as it was. Lord saved my soul as a 12-year-old boy 35 years ago. Man, that's hard to say when you have to come up and say, you know, yeah, that was 35 years ago in July. And you know what? I went home rejoicing. I went home thinking the Lord had done something for me and I would never ever be the same again. I went home rejoicing. But you know what? In the process of time, I had very cold periods. In the process of time, I got very distant from the Lord. In the process of time, You know what? How can you change this? In one sense, we can't really change anything. But in the as you're going along the way, first of all, how's your prayer life? Number one thing to keep you safe, to keep you close unto the Lord, is prayer. Your prayer life is everything about you. Your prayer life is really a reflection of how important the things of the Lord are to you. I ask you even tonight, how many times have you prayed today? How many times a day have you saw, and you said, well, I know at least three times because I asked the Lord's blessing on all my food. Well, praise God for that. But let's really get down to it. What kind of prayer is that anyway? And listen, I'm not down in prayer before food. That's how it should be done. But do you really get down and mean business with God when you're blessing your food? Now, I will say this. If you had a little less, I bet you would. Right? But I mean real prayer. How many times this week? Yeah, I said, well, Brother Larry, I'm going to be real honest, and today I really haven't had time. I've not met with God like I should. Okay, what about yesterday? See, that's been a process of time, right? 24 hours. You say, well, you know, yesterday was awful busy. I was running around, and I had to go to Walmart, and I had to go to Kmart, and I had to go run by the mall, and yesterday didn't work out. Okay, what about Monday? Well, Monday was Monday. You know how Mondays are. All right, what about Sunday? See, we're already back in the process of time. Process of time, we've not met with Him. Listen, if all you get is what you get here, it's not enough. Process of time, I'll take that away. Last thing I say, enjoy your youth and use it for God. Because it's a precious little time. And we'll be gone.
Thank you for joining us for the Time for Truth. Our services here at New Testament Baptist Church are Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 a.m. for the Sunday preaching hour, and our midweek service begins at 7 p.m. Our building is located at 805 Natcor Drive in Dover, Tennessee, and we would love to see you there. If you're listening, we would enjoy hearing from you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 145 in Dover, Tennessee, 37058. You can email our pastor, Brother Larry Lafferty, at preacher@clarksville.com, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Testament Baptist Dover. Once again, thank you for listening, and tune in next week at this same time for another Time for Truth.